This is IFL TV, proudly sponsored by Everlast. Don't forget to vote for us in the Sports Podcast Awards from the link in our bio.
Oscar Bevis, IFL TV, proudly sponsored by Everlast here at Casa de Saulin, as he calls it, with the man himself, Nissa. How are you, mate?
Doing very well, mate. Doing very well.
Good, good. Happy New Year, of course. I think the question everyone wants to know is how big was the New Year's Eve party?
I had me and the it was not big at all. Me and the family.
What a letdown that is, yeah, by the way. I was waiting for like a mad Dan Bilzerian style story, but
I wish I could give you better stories. We all had COVID, so we were all indoors. I think we managed to stay up and watch the fireworks on TV, which was quite nice. And then bed and sweating in bed.
That was just a cover story. What really happened, we can't say on IFL TV. But yeah, obviously in January, and January without boxing, normally there's little, if any, boxing in January. But I don't know, I kind of don't like it. It's weird. I feel like I haven't been to a show in ages, even though it's only been like a few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, you'd think that we'd be we would have been playing a bit of catch up, because obviously there's been a lag with the COVID and the restrictions. But yeah, I mean, we had Jan 29th planned. With Eubank Williams, but that's going ahead now on Feb 5th, so just very happy that's going ahead, and that's a good start to the boxing calendar, I think. And you know, hopefully it all goes on and stays positive from there and on out.
We will talk about Eubank Williams, but I think there is only one place to start. The big question, is it a real tattoo on Maris Bredis?
I'm not sure. You're going to have to ask him. I can get you an interview of him, yeah. And you're going to have to ask him. Yeah, it's definitely an interesting marketing tactic. I think Maris is definitely he's definitely got more popular over here, and more like people know his name. People are obviously a bit upset with the fact that he's been chasing Jake Paul, or was it Logan? Jake around, you know, for a fight. You know, I've said to you, it's a bit of marketing. If you don't like it, you don't like it. You have to respect him. I think he's a three-time world champion. He had all the belts pretty much. He won the Ali Trophy. And, you know, he's the best cruiserweight in the world. And he gave Usyk his best fight. He almost beat Usyk. I had it down to the last round, and Usyk won it just about.
Did you think this would be kind of perceived differently if it was a cruiserweight who hadn't achieved what Maris Bredis has achieved? Do you think it would be perceived differently, this whole sort of tattoo tactic?
Yeah, I think, look, if it was, let's say, a Coley, you know, and I mean this with the greatest respect, he's not been around for that long. I think if someone, you know, who just won a world title, they were doing it, then it would be perceived a little bit differently. I think... You can't really argue with Bredis' talent, his resume. And he's never backed down from a fight. And he's one of the bravest warriors out there. And I think this actually adds a bit more spice to the Oakley fight, if it happened. People want to see Oakley beat, or UK people want to see Oakley beat Bredis. And Latvians, you know, it actually creates something now, creates a dynamic. I'm not sure if it was really there before. It gives a bit of a narrative.
Can you see why there would be fans who would be like, look, Akoli has been very open about how willing he is to take this fight. You and Matrim, you know, it's a good working relationship. There's no reason why this shouldn't happen. And I know there's other belt holders at cruiserweight, but this is kind of the fight that people want to see the most, because it will determine who is the number one cruiserweight, people believe. So can you see why people might be like, it's just kind of, it's a bit frustrating to see that from Bredis?
No. I get that totally. Look, I understand it. It's very easy as well when you're sitting at home and sort of writing comments or tweets on Twitter about stuff. I understand that fans make the sport, and you know, opinions are important. I think it's a fight that has to happen. I think that Akoli's a very, very good fighter. I think Bredis is a very good fighter, and I know that he's fighting end of Feb, I think, against the Polish opponent. Czizlak, so I can never say his name. And I know that Myra's going to have a mandatory, so that's another reason that he's not been, you know, that's been another issue in the negotiations. But let's say they come, they should both come through that, and let's do a summer fight between Okoli and Bradis. That'd be, you know, what a fight.
In terms of Jake Paul just moving away from Bradis and the tattoo and whatnot, has your perception changed from him at all? I'll take it back to, let's say, January 2020, his professional debut, as it were. I was there in Miami, fought another YouTuber, but it was considered a professional fight, sanctioned and whatnot. Has your perception in these 2 years of Jake Paul changed, be it as a businessman, a showman, or even as a fighter? Has your perception changed of Jake Paul in those 2 years?
I think that, you know, I think my perception as a businessman, I think he's a great businessman. I think he's a great marketeer. I think that just because you get a fight sanctioned under a pro license doesn't make it a pro fight, in my opinion. I know people go, oh, well, we got it sanctioned by God knows where. I just don't see it as a pro fight. I think you need to do it. I think you need to have a few amateur fights. You know, go get your book, go out and fight on the amateur scene. I don't think he'd have gotten a license in this country. I don't think. I'm not sure where he got his license, but at the same time, look, I can't knock what he's done. I think that any boxer would beat him. Any decent boxer, I think that Clarissa Shields would probably beat him. I think Christina Hammer, who signed to us, you know, but I'm just talking about strong, you know, about 69 kg, whatever, 72. A female would have a good chance against him. I don't think Jake Paul would have a chance against a Clarissa Shields or a Christina Hammer or a Savannah Marshall for that instance as well. But anyway, that's my controversial input. I better stop there. Get into a whole new topic of equality and whatever else. I don't want to do a women's against man's fight because that could go awfully wrong.
I don't know. Maybe it would be competitive, Clarissa Shields and Jake Paul, Christina Hammer and Jake Paul.
I do know that Clarissa and her management, Mark Caffett, I know that they'd like to fight a man. And yeah, why not?
It's a route we don't need to go down for now, is it?
I'm thinking about it now. The wheels are turning in my head very slowly because it's late on a Friday. It could also be very dangerous. And obviously, you know, Jake Paul's probably stronger physically. I'm just saying that boxer wise, Clarissa Shields or Savannah Marshall or Christina Hammer are better than him. I would say that. What did he weigh for his last fight?
I don't know the exact weight, I'm not going to lie, but it was like a, yeah, it was like a low cruiser, big, light, heavy sort of weight.
85-ish. Okay. I would say he wouldn't have a chance against...
would he win a British title, for example?
I was about to say. Okay, so you put him in cruiserweight. Would he have a chance against Dion Juma? No. Would he have a chance against Mikel Lowell? No. Would he have a chance against... I'm going domestic now. Would he have a chance against any of the other guys? You know, Willem Smith? No. The React Paul? No. You know, all these guys, Isaac Chamberlain, no. So that
do you consider him a professional boxer then? Because we're talking about sort of domestic level guys, and you said you don't count
his first fight
as a fight. Like, do you consider him as, I think he's what, 5-0 now? Do you consider him as a 5-0 professional or not?
No.
No, I don't. I think it's a different market. I'm torn with the whole sort of, you know, I think he's a strong guy. I just think you can't just suddenly jump into professional boxing. It's just a different level. Yeah. You know, I've tried to do white collar fights, and it's not even the getting in the ring that gets you. It's the training, which ends up killing you, you know? Like, I don't know how these guys do it. And then I think you need to serve your time a little bit. And you can't just jump in and say you're a pro boxer. I think that's a bit insulting to some of these guys who've been working toward it their whole lives. I look for Fraser Clark, who was in the amateur team for God knows how long, and you know, now he's finally getting there, which has always been his dream. And you got some guy who's, because he's got good following on YouTube or whatever, he's a genius marketeer and he's a genius businessman. He's, you know, he talks well, and he's been able to. It's a bit unfair on these guys who've, you know, they've worked for it a lot harder. I think, look, Jake's worked for it in a different way, as in, I'm not knocking any of this YouTube or TikTok or whatever you're,
it's just
a different grind. Exactly. So look, he's 5-0 now, as you say, as a pro. I'd like to see him fight a proper boxer. I think Chavez is too small. If you're saying that he's around the 80, well, maybe not. But he wasn't, was he, middleweight, wasn't he, when he was decent-ish? So it's, yeah. I mean, I'd like to see him fight Tommy Fury. You know, that's a similar weight as well, because Tommy Fury's quite a big, light, heavy, isn't he? That's beat Tommy Fury, and then we can, I'll reconsider.
Yeah, that's a hurdle. Obviously, we still haven't crossed with the whole Tommy Fury thing. Just in terms of, theoretically, let's say Jake Paul was open to fighting a boxer. Would he pick someone like Maris Bredis anyway? Because you look at the people he's picked so far, he's picked UFC fighters who, in America, UFC is like a different kettle of fish over here. People like Masvidal, who he's calling out now, and people like the man he just beat, whose name I've completely lost. Tyron Woodley, that's the one, yeah. They're, in America, they're just such names that someone like Maris Bredis, does that transcend to America? Is this even a possibility, realistically, or is this sort of, not, I don't want to call it a PR stunt, but is this really like a possibility?
I think, you know, if anything, his matchmaking so far has been, you know, pretty genius, if you look at it. So I think, unless they sack the matchmaker and get someone else in who's completely mad, I can't see them fighting Maris Bredis. So it's a suicide mission for him. I just... You know, like I said, fight someone like, you know, 4-0, 5-0 Tommy Fury, same sort of size, you know, proper boxer. If you can beat him, which I personally, I don't think he can, then maybe, you know, build him up a bit. But unless they're completely mad, no. I've got to be honest, you know, I think yeah, I don't know. I can't see it happening.
Don't get me wrong. I'm sure there's some people who would like to see Maris fight Jake for other reasons, perhaps anti-Jake Paul reasons. But
people should be cheering him a little bit to get the fight, because I think he'd do a lot of people a favour. But I think unless Jake Paul has a very unsane or insane moment, I can't see it happening.
Obviously, the one thing we do want at the end of this is, like you said, Bredis and Okoli. If it happens in the summer, obviously Okoli comes through February the 27th and Bredis deals with the mandatory. We get a summer fight, which I suppose now is bigger. And Eddie threw the word embarrassing Bredis as well. So we've got a little bit of bait chucked in as well. So I don't know. It's an interesting one for the summer now. Is it doubled in size?
Yeah, I wouldn't call it embarrassing. I mean, it's just, someone trying to get a good payday and get his name out there. And
you can't knock a man a payday, I suppose, can you?
No, I think, you know, Eddie's the, you know, he's a good talker as well. So, you know, they're promoting themselves, and it's, I'm not going to discuss that. I think that Bredis, yes, Okoli against Bredis in the summer would be a brilliant fight. For either, I don't know how well Okoli does in the UK. I'm not sure. I don't. We could do that in
numbers perspective.
Like ticket sales, whatever else. I think you'd fill up 20,000 in Latvia, no problem. Great weekend away for any British male. And you know, I mean, you can't really. I don't think you do as good numbers as ticket sales in the UK. he'd do better in Latvia. Yeah.
Well, it's a discussion for if they both come over their hurdles, and fingers crossed we do get it, because it is, well, for me, it's one of the fights that I would put down as one of my top five for 2022. Moving on, finally, someone has accepted the IBF Eliminator.
Yeah.
We stood there in Vegas beforehand thinking, right, if Hrgović does a job, are we going to be in the same place again? Names are going to be thrown and they're going to be turned down. Hrgović's name will be thrown at people and it will be turned down. But Tony Yoka is the man that has accepted the Eliminator.
Yeah, he's accepted. I just hope something comes of it. You know, it's a very exciting fight. They've got history from the Olympics. I think it was a very close decision at the Olympics. Could have gone Phillip's way, and I don't think anyone would have argued. They fought a couple of times in the amateurs, and I think Yoka's a bit of a star in France. Phillip's obviously a bit of a star in Croatia, but I think internationally it's going to help them both as well. To push them internationally. Not sure where the fight will end up. I know there's a lot of interested parties to put it on. I know that Yoka is also, Yoka was due to fight Bacoli, so that's also another interesting situation. We're not exactly, I thought it was rescheduled, we're not sure, we have to sort of wait on the outcome of that. But it's a great fight. I think that's probably our biggest sort of hit in a while on social media, the amount of people who are interested. And actually, English people, like a lot of English people interested in that fight, which shows how big it is.
In terms of that fight, and you said, you know, it's been accepted and you hope it's going to go further. What sort of, talk us through the stage right now, because obviously we've been told it's been accepted. What sort of work has to go on between there and then? Is there a lot of work to be done? Because I think a lot of people are taking it as he's accepted it. We're now going to see that fight in 2 months, which obviously I imagine it's not that simple.
I mean, you saw what happened with Michael Hunter. It's where boxing can be very frustrating. You know, you do a 2-week negotiation period, no agreement. Then there's 2 weeks and you got a purse bid. Purse bid gets won. Contracts get sent out. You wait 2 weeks, the guy didn't sign the contract. You're like, okay, great. So we've got to go back to the drawing board again. That's 6 weeks of someone's earning life. And as a fighter, you have a window. You know, so it's look, I hope they've got the right intentions, and I think they do. I think it'll be a great fight, and I think there's, like I said, there's a few interested parties in staging it.
I saw Tyson Fury put on his story as well that he basically tagged Tony Yoka and Phillip Hrgović and said, look, this is a fight I want to see. So when you've got one of the world heavyweight champions saying it's one they want to see, because the winner of that is then what, Usyk's mandatory. So realistically, the winner of that is in for a mega fight and is in the mix with the likes of Fury, who said himself that he wants to see the fight.
Yeah, I mean, when the best heavyweight on the planet says that, it's always a compliment and sort of an approval stamp.
Yeah.
It's always nice to see, and we're all big fans of Tyson, and do you know what? The heavyweight world is so much better with him back in it. I'm very glad he's back and firing on all cylinders. It's exactly. That you can't really eclipse the heavyweight lineal champ giving you kudos for it for the fight. So let's just hope it happens.
Eubank Williams, you said at the start that everyone would have seen now, we've got February the 5th as the sort of approved date. I saw something on online a couple of days ago. I think it was one of like the Welsh sporting ministers who said that there could be trouble with it potentially happening in Wales, even if it was moved to February. I'm just wondering if you had any sort of trouble around that potentially being rescheduled for early Feb at all.
No, there's been an announcement today by our old mate. I can't remember his name, but he's put a professor, someone or other, and he's said that they're allowed to go ahead with big events. I think a lot comes down to the rugby as well and the Six Nations. They were going to have a big uproar if the RFU started moving the Welsh rugby games to England. You know, that can't happen. Yeah,
I know nothing about rugby, and even I know that wouldn't go down well.
I have no idea about rugby either, but it's Yeah, no, I think there would be a big uproar. And also the Liam Williams. Look, people need to earn money. Yeah, you need people in the bars. You need people in the pubs. And you need live events going on. I'm not going to start getting into Corona. I don't, you know, but life has to go on a bit. Yeah, I don't really care if someone gets the jab or doesn't get the jab. Or I don't get into this. Just let's live life and go to events and have fun. And, you know, people need to be out spending money. Be careful, obviously. But at the same time, you know, the world has to go on, sadly.
Do you think this is where boxing sometimes gets the disrespect at times? Because you're looking at someone who is Welsh's main face in boxing, and he's fighting Chris Eubank, who is a massive name, not just here, but worldwide. The Eubank name carries so much weight. And yet they're looking at, I know rugby is the Welsh sport, but they're looking at that in terms of, if that goes ahead, then the boxing world. Do you think this is where boxing gets sometimes disrespect? Because I'm not being funny, that is the biggest fight in Wales involving a Welshman since I can remember.
Yeah, I think since Joe or Enzo. I'm trying to think if there's anyone else. Selby's, yeah, it's massive. I think you know, in that instance, you've got the RFU, the proper rugby union, and they're, you know, maybe a bit more of a affiliate sort of organization. We're you know, we're boxing fights. We do event to event. I think that it's maybe not the disrespect we think for boxing. It's more, maybe it's more because it's an official, you know, the RFU's, it's the national team. It's like the Free Lions for England. so it's, I think it's a little bit different there. But yeah, I agree. I was a bit upset that we got moved from the 29th of January. A week. Come on. Yeah. Anyway, look, I'm just happy it's on. I'm just happy it's on. And I think that's, like I said earlier, that's a seriously good way to kick off the new year. And, you know, a real 50-50 fight and all action.
Cannot wait. One thing I did want to ask you about, because I don't think why I asked you if you've been asked about it. Just your thoughts on Calm Brook. We're closing in about, what, just over a month away till we finally see them in the ring. In terms of the fight, not the inside the ring stuff, but in terms of the weight the fight holds, I just want to know if you think potentially from where it would have been even 3, 5, 7 years ago, whatever, from then to now, does it still hold that same sort of weight for you as a boxing fan?
That's a good question. Does it hold the same weight? I mean, I try and sort of keep everything in front of me and not sort of speculate on the past, but probably not.
I think that's a general consensus. It would have been better then, but it's still good to see now.
Is it still a 50-50-ish sort of fight? Yes. Are they still big-ish stars? Yes. Will I pay to watch it? Yes. Could I bet my house on the winner? No. I think it's got all the ingredients for a great fight. Of course, it's always a shame when the fights don't happen at that time, like a Mayweather or a Mayweather-Pacquiao. But we have to live with what we got in front of us. So if you don't like it, don't buy it. It's quite simple. Keep your money, go and do something else with it. Watch it in a week's time. Or, you know, I think people are too critical. There are reasons why these fights don't happen. I know it's frustrating as boxing fans. I do. I'm a boxing fan first and foremost, but sometimes you know, you can't force someone to fight. You can't force someone to agree on a weight. You can't force someone to be with a certain broadcaster. What are you going to do? It's happening now. Everyone should be happy. Or not everyone. Everyone who wanted the fight. And the people who don't want to watch it, just don't watch it. Easy.
All right. This is Howland. Thank you very much for having me around and the hospitality. I've got my gin and tonic as well to finish off, made by your lovely wife, which is the best gin and tonic I've ever had, by the way. And I'm not just being a kiss off here.
Don't give out my address.
I'll try not to. Address in the description, by the way. One more thing. Have you got sort of a message for perhaps boxing fans for 2022? Obviously, you said you don't want to go into Corona and that, and we don't need to, but I feel like this could be the first year for a couple of years where it's going to be flat out, steady, no hurdles boxing. Have you got sort of a message to the fans?
I think, you know, in these times with this, you know, Corona, it's been frustrating. I think everyone just needs to stay positive. I just hope that, you know, all the fights that need to get made, get made. I hope fighters make the money that they're due to make. I hope they all stay healthy. I hope there's no bad injuries. And I hope that everyone, I hope it's a good year for everyone. I think everyone needs it. There's a few fights that I want to see domestically in the UK, internationally. And yeah, I'm excited for the year.
Oh, mic drop.
Thanks for listening to the IFL TV podcast, sponsored by William Hill in association with Lonsdale MTK Global.